Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-oh, 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 hey-oh. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey-oh, 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 hey-oh. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, our surroundings, to be, and we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings, take care, to care. Nahastan aniva nijane gosha bhotya, nijane gosha bhotya. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh. Hey, 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 oh. Hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh.
Akwe, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat-Kitishi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwe, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending Native lands and Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho Kanawantakwasin to all of our relations.
I was listening to the voices of life, chanting in unison, carry on the struggle. The generations surge together in resistance to meet the reality of power. Mother Earth embraces her children and natural beauty to last beyond oppressor's brutality. As the butterfly floats into life, we are the spirit of natural life, which is forever. The power of understanding, real connections to spirit, is meaning our resistance, our struggle, is not sacrifice lost. It is natural energy, properly used. One time, I was visiting with my relatives. The clouds, the mountains, the sky, the trees. My relatives touched my spirit, nudged it lovingly. Listen to us, impatient one. We are forever. You must remember the gentleness of time. You are struggling to be who you are. You say you want to learn the old ways. Struggling to learn when all you must do is remember. Remember the people. Remember sky and earth. Remember the people have always struggled to live in harmony, in peace. Struggle against selfishness and weakness so the people may live as nations. The old ways are hard. The people have always had to work together. Remember, impatient one, remember and live. Do not be afraid of truth. Respect, discipline, share your life so the people may live. Honor sky and earth, honor yourself, honor your relations. Remember, impatient one, the gentleness of time. Grandmother Moon, you are more than light in the night. You are more than the moon. You are spirit connection. Your energy is our life. You are memories to generations past. You are the creator of sensations that will always last. You are the knowledge, the teacher, the influence to keep the people sane. You are a healer for spirit pain. Grandmother Moon, we love you. And we are angry at the invaders who trash you and violate our universe with their mechanical uncleanliness. We pray for you, for us, and for the invader who just can't comprehend respect, love, or the balance of life. We do not join the invading madness. From the way they act, it speaks of spirit sadness. Machine money progress is the cause of our common abuse. We see you, Grandmother. We feel you. We love you. We know through your reality, we will endure. We are one. We pray for you. We pray to you. Grandfather is whispering in the wind. Rejoice at the life you are a part of. Natural energy bound to natural laws. You will survive this temporary madness imposed upon you. Natural life is longer than oppressors' illusionary insanity. Spirits experience human deeds but need not end. This is just one place of changes. Spirit life is forever if you want. The universe is your home. You can survive here. Do not let them kill you. Keep your spirit strong. For distant stars and distant drums are the memories of spirit infancy. Children of Earth, let the spirit live so you can grow in your place in the universe.
Music from Dakota singer, songwriter, poet, and activist John Trudell. From his classic Tribal Voice CD, the particular song we just heard was entitled Listening. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Native Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. In today's broadcast, we are very honored to share a visit with my friend, Mr. Robert Graygrass. Robert is a well-respected actor, storyteller, and wellness counselor. He is one of the finest American Indian playwrights. Robert's native theater, Ixchiwikasa, has performed nationally and internationally. Theater Ixchiwikasa, description in Robert's brochure, states, and I quote, Ixchiwikasa is Lakota for common man. In performance, I combine drumming, singing, ritual, poetry, and stories that guide the audience from natural law before the creation of Turtle Island to life on and off the reservation today. Native American heritage includes great thinkers, statesmen and women, warriors, and common people unknown to mainstream America. I founded Theater Ixchiwikasa to present the humor, pathos, genius, and the philosophical reality of Native people as a part of world philosophy, unquote. Robert's production company, D. White Dog Productions, has two acclaimed stage performances. They include Walking on Turtle Island and Ghost Lands of an Urban Indian. Both of these wonderful theater performances takes the audience through a variety of characters, giving a view of Native America. His plays are powerful, original masterpieces. I encourage all of our Wolf Mountain Native Radio listeners to attend his theater whenever possible. His website, www.robertgraygrass.org, provides a calendar of his performance schedule. In addition to his extensive theater, TV, and film credentials, Mr. Graygrass's school programs provide students with an authentic view of both historical and contemporary Native life. As a Native American educator myself, I recommend his school presentations and classroom workshops. As longtime listeners to Wolf Mountain Native Radio know, we here at Yad Kiddushi Native Center have always been concerned about the health and well-being of indigenous peoples, especially since many of our Native communities continue to suffer from alcohol, substance abuse, and other social traumas. Many of our broadcasts have focused on health and wellness. Robert Graygrass is likewise concerned and involved with this important work. He is a trained drug and alcohol counselor with many years of experience. His residencies, workshops, in camps and treatment centers has helped many. We are very grateful for his work in this important area. I first had the honor to meet Robert Graygrass at a historic conference in Powwow sponsored by Radio for Peace International in 1992. The gathering was entitled Peace in the Planet, Native Wisdom, Native Rights, and Mother Earth. This event brought many indigenous and non-native people together from different parts of the world in order to dialogue on important cultural and environmental issues. Robert shared his Walking on Turtle Island performance at that gathering. We then had the honor 12 years later to meet Mr. Graygrass again when he performed Walking on Turtle Island here in Southwest Florida's venue, Theater Conspiracy. During the week, the one-week run of his play in Fort Myers, Florida, we were gifted to have Robert visit and stay with us, which allowed us the opportunity to have him here in our studio, as well as visit friends on the Seminole Big Cypress Reservation. It is indeed Yad Kiddushi Native Center's honor to welcome Mr. Robert Graygrass to Wolf Mountain Radio.
Robert Graygrass, I'm Lakota and Salagi and European mixed. My family's from South Dakota and other parts of Turtle Island. Currently living in Oregon, have been for about 24 years. I'm an actor and a storyteller, grandfather, and live on the Red Road in the best way that I can by Lako Wichoha, the Lakota way of being. I've been performing one-man shows and doing storytelling and writing poetry for about 10 years now. And working with teenagers and young people in wellness and sobriety for about 18 years, maybe 19 years.
Betty and I had the honor last week to attend one of your performances here in Southwest Florida, Walking on the Turtle Island. Would you please explain to our listeners about this very fine performance and some of the messages behind this presentation?
Walking on Turtle Island is an original script. It's a two-act, one-man show. I wrote all the material except one segment called Night Flying Woman, which is adapted from the book Night Flying Woman by another man named Michael O'Rourke. We have permission from the family to use that. The play itself is really fine quality theater. It's well written, well acted, well directed, generally well produced. It depends on where I wind up performing the show. And it has the content of, there's 20 to 21 characters, depending on how you interpret them, and four plays within the play, and a narrator character. So it's very busy. There's two historical pieces, and there's two contemporary pieces. And it gives a really good slice of Native America from the old days up to these modern days. Like Grandpa says to his son, grandson, you know, these dreams, they pass through the old days, these days, and the days yet to come. Native America is like that in general. We pass through all of time and change and adapt as need to. And this play depicts a lot of that. It shows how, from just a real personal point of view, there's a guy in jail and his personal story. There's a night flying woman and her personal story from being 5 years old up till she's 85 years old and all the choices and changes her family made as they came onto the reservation. And then there's Tyee John, who fought the wars of the 1850s in Southern Oregon and Northern California, and his personal story. And he was a general, a war chief. He wasn't a savage leading a bunch of renegade Indians to kill white people. He was fighting a war to protect homeland. And then there's Grandpa and his grandchild in the other story, Dwight Dog. Again, a modern story on the reservation, and it shows how our traditions and our customs are still alive, even in these modern times. And so this whole play was written with my intention to bring really good quality theater and good quality writing to the world, and to show, to add another part of Native American philosophy and perspective to the world philosophy and perspective. Hoping that people will one day grow up and realize that Indian people are just as valid. Indian ways of being and thought and people are just as valid as any other philosophy or any other canon that has ever been created.
Sir, in addition to this beautiful theater performance, Walking on a Turtle's Back, what other plays or theater have you written and have shown in Indian country?
I have a new show called Ghostlands of an Urban Indian. It's a lot more comedy. Walking on Turtle Island is pretty heavy drama. There's a little bit of laughter, but it's not very lighthearted. It's kind of heavy. This new show, Ghostlands of an Urban Indian, is a lot of my own life and stories of being a mixed blood person, what it is to be part Indian and part white, what it is to be a drunk and live in those dysfunctions, to wake up to that and come to the Red Road and put those dysfunctions and abuses aside, and the journey that is involved there. And there's a lot of irony and just downright ludicrous crazy things that we go through. So this is a new show. We just premiered it in May of 2003 in Ashland, Oregon. I've just recently started touring it and performing it, so anyone listening, it's ready for the road. I also do storytelling and school visits. Lots of residencies in public schools, private schools, Native American schools. A lot of visits at Indian tribal centers, urban health centers, wellness conferences, and sometimes just show up at an arts festival, you know, and get on stage and do some storytelling and some singing and have a little fun with the audience, things like that.
Most important aspects of your work, from my point of view, is your drug and alcohol counseling, your involvement with, in English is called the wellness movement, especially within indigenous communities of the world, helping people get over the years of drug and alcohol and other social abuses that we have suffered. And I know in my own personal life, when I was on the street, a lot of that, from my point of view, came from seeing the desecration of Mother Earth and the loss of our cultural ways. I remember growing up not legally even being able to speak my language or to do ceremony until the so-called 1978 American Indian Religious Freedom Act. And I'm very concerned about trying to reclaim our people, trying to make sure that our future generations are very proud of being Native and being sober and being healthy. And yet, in a lot of our communities, sadly, that's not the case. Would you please talk about your wellness work, your wellness program, and how you integrate theater and arts and history and culture for this?
Yeah, that's a big subject. big subject. Drugs and alcohol addiction affects many, many different people, whatever color or custom you are. But Indian people, indigenous people, particularly here on Turtle Island and Australia, there's a certain kind of alcoholism or pain that comes with the addiction that is unique to indigenous people. And it's the things that you said about just being completely destroyed, culture, media, legal, everything painful you could imagine, every kind of molestation possible. And it leaves a lot of empty places inside people, a lot of hurting, painful places. And when you taste that first alcohol or that first load of crank or heroin or even just a first bowl of pot or hash, whatever, your body suddenly feels good, and you didn't even realize how bad you felt, maybe. And so then we just continue on in that, looking for that feel good once again. And it takes time to wake up to that and realize that once we put that aside, then is the journey of owning our pain. And it's painful to own your own pain, because we want to blame, you know, we want to blame the white world or the industrial world or the other Indians who sold out or our own families or whatever these sicknesses are that are all around us. And there's a phase of that, and then you got to just own it. Well, this is my pain, this is what happened to me, and I chose this life, this skin, this reincarnation. So we have the red road, you know, which is the red road is a powerful instrument for healing. It used to just simply be a way of life, you know, just that's how Indian people lived. And so now it's become a way that you have to go over and reclaim. And the red road, a simple definition to me, is any Indian person living in their tribal customs and ways in a beautiful way that also allows them to walk in both the Indian world and the non-Indian world in a healthy and beautiful way. That takes some doing. That takes a lot of commitment. And so my work, I mean, I made my own journey in that 20 years ago. I never went the AA route or NA or those kind of treatments. I'm familiar with them, and I was a trained drug and alcohol counselor, so I used some of those things for my clients. But for me, I went to the drum, the fire, the ceremonies, the elders, the red road. And that's what doctored me up. So in my performance, I always have that philosophy of wellness and the red road and Lakota Chohan, the Lakota way of being, all threaded into the things I say and do on stage or in my storytelling. And I also have several workshops that I do. One is called Crazy Wellness, and it's a 3-hour afternoon of acting and theater skills and activities designed with wellness in mind and things of self-identity and what makes a person tick and interpersonal communication. It's a lot of fun. They're real lively and active, and I generally focus those on teenagers. And then I have another workshop called Theater as Transformation, which is 1 to 2 weeks long, and we take the Crazy Wellness workshop and expand it over 2 weeks, and we create a performance. And at the end of those 2 weeks, we present that to the community. So it can be whatever the content is. I know in Canada we did one, and the main focus up there was at that time the boarding school generations. So we did a lot of our show was about that. Other places was tobacco cessation, domestic violence. So we just focused that, and that's the main content of the show. And during those 2 weeks, there's a lot of catharsis. There's usually halfway through or so, we have to stop and put the show aside and do a talking circle for one night. Get out an eagle feather and some sweet grass and some prayer songs and have a couple other facilitators there and got to just unload stuff because it all comes up to the surface. And when I leave the community, we try to leave a circle going that's being run by some older people experienced in recovery. So that's a big part of my work. As far as wellness and recovery, I also attend a lot of wellness conferences, and I'll use some of my shows. I'll perform a piece, and then we'll do a talking circle or a discussion time, or I work from the Four Directions model that my elders taught me, which is a human being is made up of intellectual or mental, emotional or feelings, spiritual or soul, and physical or body and the material world. And I have a seminar called Living with Your Whole Self, where we study on that. We spend the day just discussing and doing activities around what is it to be a whole person? How do I explore all these four parts of myself, integrate all of them, and make a nice circle of my life? So my wellness work is really important. Sometimes I love to just get on stage and perform, you know, just tell some stories, tell some jokes. I've even been doing some stand-up comedy here and there, which kind of throws people off, you know, because Indian people are so spiritual. Yeah. And to get up and tell them a few dirty jokes can kind of throw them off. But that's part of wellness too, man. Just laughing and having a good time and keeping ourselves in a good perspective of a sense of humor, you know, because Creator's got a serious sense of humor. So that's some of the wellness work that I do.
I met a man in San Francisco last week, staggering down the streets, unshaven, torn clothes, wearing a hungry look. He stopped and asked me for a quarter, or for whatever change I could spare. I looked at him long and deep into his eyes, and for a moment, I thought I knew him. I said, "Hey, mister, what's your name?" He shook his head. "I'm sorry, son, I don't have a name." I asked him where he came from, and he said, "Oh, from some far-off reservation in South Dakota, or is it Minnesota? Maybe Oklahoma. It's been so long now, I forgot." I asked him how long he'd been there. He said, "I can't remember. It's been so long." And I asked him if he ever got lonesome for home. And he said, "Yes, every day. Every day I want to go home." So I gave him his quarter and went on my way, turning one more time to look at this man that I thought I knew. And that night, as I lay there sleeping, I dreamt of my home in South Dakota, or was it Minnesota, or Oklahoma? I can't remember now. It's been so long. When I awoke, I knew I had to find this man in San Francisco. There was something about him I remembered. Something about his smile. I found a policeman on the corner, and he said, "Yes, I saw this old Indian chief here. An ambulance took him away this morning. He was sick and cold, and he was saying, 'Take me home. Take me home. Please take me home.'" I found him in a hospital bed with sheets so cold. He was asleep with a smile on his clean shaven face. I said, "Hey, mister." He awoke, and I cried as I looked at him, and I said, "Come on, Dad. Let's go home. Let's go home."
Music from Anishinaabe Warrior and American Indian Movement co-founder Dennis Banks, from his cassette Still Strong, which Dennis gifted me when he spoke here in Southwest Florida as part of the Bring Leonard Peltier Home Tour, which Yad Kiddushi Native Center was honored to co-host here in Pahokee, the traditional homeland of Seminole and Miccosukee Indian peoples. That song, "Man in San Francisco," is an important reminder that many Native peoples still suffer from life on the street, living in poverty, trying to dull the pain of Indian life with alcohol and drug use. I really appreciate the wellness work done by people like today's program guest, Mr. Robert Graygrass. Robert is a well-respected actor, playwright, storyteller, and wellness counselor. My friend Robert is here in Southwest Florida performing his wonderful theater performance, Walking on Turtle Island. Sir, previously in our conversation, we briefly mentioned your work as a wellness counselor, where your workshops and talking circles try to help heal different wounds many Indigenous people suffer from, such as alcoholism, substance abuse, domestic violence, and dysfunctional families. One particular trauma that upsets me is the abuse suffered from the so-called boarding school era. Since this is an international radio audience, some of our listeners might not be familiar with the intergenerational trauma many Indigenous peoples around the world have suffered as a result of being forced into residential schools. It was official government policy, both in the United States and Canada, as well as in other countries like Australia and New Zealand, to literally kidnap Native children and force Indian boys and girls to live in white-run so-called boarding schools. These schools were, in reality, juvenile prison camps. Most of them were run by so-called Christian missionaries who did their best to stomp out any cultural spiritual traditions those native children had. The brutality of being taken away from family and community, of suffering physical punishment if one spoke their native language or tried to follow native ceremony is well documented. The movie, Where the Spirit Lives, exemplifies how the church mistreated native children in these mission schools with physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. This was done all in the effort to so-called civilize the non-white savages as our indigenous peoples were thought of. This boarding school era's legacy still hurts our peoples. Robert, would you please comment on this?
It really is the roots of the dysfunction, I believe that. My uncle, he says he started going to prison when he was 6 years old because they took him to boarding school when he was six. And then from there, he was institutionalized. In and out of jail, in and out of prison. That's how he said he spent his whole life in and out of prison up until he really embraced the Red Road 20 some odd years ago and found his peace again. But that boarding school, man, depending on the country, you know, Canada, United States, New Zealand, and Australia, there's anywhere from two to six generations back of people kidnapped away at a really young age, raised up in an institutional environment, and know nothing about parenting. They know nothing about how you live in your home and in your language, because the language is forbidden. The culture is forbidden. Here in America, they had a saying in their boarding school system, kill the Indian, save the man. So they would destroy any thought or philosophy or idea or practice or social way of being or language or intellect or view or however, whatever words describes the internal workings of a Native American person. They would do everything they could to destroy that and yet save this skin, this living person, to become Christianized and industrialized and educated to become a good worker or a good soldier or a good prisoner. That's what I believe boarding schools have done, and I believe the public schools are not much different than that, of what they're trying to create. So it's really tragic when I listen to some elders talk about what happened to them in boarding schools and what was taken away from people. In both of my plays, in Walking on Turtle Island, there's a segment in The Night Flying Woman, she addresses some of the boarding school issues. And in my new show, Ghostlands, I have a character in there named Big Nose, who's a Vietnam veteran hitchhiking the streets of Seattle, and he addresses some of the boarding school issues. Those are the things that most of the world, mainstream America and mainstream Australia and these other countries, they're just clueless. They have no idea what Native culture has been through and the horrific impact. I mean, the terror of being 6, 7 years old, ripped out of your grandma's arms, thrown in a vehicle, hauled 100 miles away, put in a building with a bunch of other kids, your hair shaved, put in a uniform, beaten every time you spoke your language, probably molested by the priests and the other ones who ran the school. I mean, so many children died of broken hearts. Go see, you mentioned that film, Where the Spirit Lives. There's also The Rabbit Proof Fence, yes. Touches on that in Australia. It's a great film. So here we are as the seventh generation, you know, in Lakota prophecy, we are the seventh generation. And this is our responsibility, our takushkanshka, that's something that moves. We look back to the 60s and 70s and all the upheaval that was going on here in America and other parts of the world. Black Panther, environmental movement, American Indian movement, the women's movement, all these things that erupted. Those are really important because we were the seventh generation in our youth waking up. Well, now we've got 20, 30 years of practice in these spiritual ways and in these political ways and social ways. And this is our duty. This is our sacred spiritual duty in this time to transform that thinking process and to try to reverse some of the horrific things that have been done to indigenous people, the Earth Mother, and because of some of those things, the decadent and destructive society that has been created. We need to evolve this forward. So as the seventh generation, we mark this time from the late 60s. It's like we drew a line in the sand, said, okay, no more. We don't know exactly what we're supposed to do from here, but we know that whatever's gone on this far can't continue. And so now, 30 years later, we got a pretty good idea of what needs to be done. They're trying to put us to sleep again. They created another war, and it's a global war against terrorism, they call it. It's a war on humanity and irresponsibility toward all of life. And my words and thoughts to anyone listening is that be awake. Go to your prayer life. Go to your meditation life. Go to your spiritual teachings. If you're a Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, indigenous, whoever, go to the true essence, not the politics. Go to the spiritual beauty that your teachers lived and passed on. And take that up so that we can truly transform what we're doing as human beings. The Hopi prophecies say this could be a good time. We are the people we've been waiting for. And I really believe, let's do that. Let's become that beautiful seventh generation.
Hey, listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kedichi Native Center. Yat Kedichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center is an intertribal culture and arts environmental protection. Yat Kedichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kedichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kedichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kedichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kedichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kedichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kedichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kedichi's Kinonwatakwasi Native Arts creates quality handcrafted traditional and contemporary fine arts. Please request our catalog of custom flutes, pottery, beaded necklaces, bracelets, earrings, leather pouches, hat bands, and chokers with bone. Yat Kedichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Please write us for our catalog of audio tapes available for purchase. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kedichi Native Center, write to Yat Kedichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kedichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakwasin, to all of our relations.
Today, an Indian boy has been born. Hey, hey. Today, an Indian boy has been born. He'll be blessed the Indian way. He'll love the earth the Indian way. Hey, yeah, hey.
Native American music from Tom B's XIT band, his CD Without Reservation from Sound of America Records. That classic song was entitled Birth. And we also listened to a fine song from Anthony Wakeman, a traditional Native American flutist, from his Canyon Records CD Butterfly Dreams. And that song was entitled For My Brother. And I chose that as an honor song to today's program guest, Lakota brother Robert Graygrass. We started off our music set with a CD from Mekoshi Music. This is their fine CD, Lakota Thunder. The song was Way of Life. And as what we've been trying to share on today's conversation with Robert Graygrass is that many of the things that we're talking about is a traditional cultural spiritual life way, a way of life of following the red road for the well-being of Sacred Mother Earth and all our relations. Well, dear friends, we're nearing the end of our broadcast time together for this edition of Native Radio. Please stay tuned next week where we continue my conversation with Robert in Program 2 of this very special visit. We shall follow up today's program with a Lakota woman's song entitled Seventh Generation. And as you've heard repeatedly on Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, we Indigenous peoples of North America, Turtle Island, always tried to think how our thoughts and actions will impact seven future generations. And I know Robert Gregrass's very important work, his education programs, his storytelling, his native theater, and of course his wellness programs always are in the interest of seventh generations to come. I urge our listeners to look at Robert Gregrass's excellent website for more information about his programs and projects, as well as his excellent credentials. His website is www.gregrass.org. Once again, that's Robert Gregrass. He's a Dakota storyteller, theater artist, a very fine drug and alcohol trained counselor working in wellness programs, and a very good brother that I think represents Indian country in a good way. His website, www.gregrass.org. You can also write Robert at Robert Gregrass, P.O. Box 952, Ashland, Oregon, 97520, USA. Now remember, he might be out touring doing some of his theater performances, but if you have patience, I'm sure he'll get back to you. Again, his mailing address is Robert Gregrass, that's Gregrass, P.O. Box 952, Ashland, Oregon, 97520, USA. His email is robert@gregrass.org. So we will say thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices today. Again, this is Mac O'Shea's very beautiful music CD with Sissy Goodhouse singing Seventh Generation. Aho, kinoma takwasin to all of our relations.
Hey.